Amen, 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 amen. I don't want to miss heaven for this old world, amen. This world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father shall last forever. I'd rather be in heaven as in this old world, amen. Just think, but in heaven, I'm going to throw away all that stinking medicine I take every morning to keep me awake. And then I'm going to throw all of it away that I take at night so that I can go back to sleep. Amen. Pill pushers are not welcome in heaven. Amen. Well, you folk look serious today. I wish you looked that serious and you went to a ball game. Loosen up, man. We have Mother's Day every year. Don't we? Don't we have Mother's Day every year? Slack out then. Let's chill out and have a good time. You don't do that? Amen. Wouldn't it be something you went home today and said, ha, I had fun in church. Amen. I actually enjoyed it. Wouldn't that be something? That might crack some of the religious formality that we're so used to. Amen? Well, I thought I'd just preach to you a little while out of 2 Timothy, if that'd be all right. 2 Timothy. Like to talk to you this morning. And I'm not going to speak very long. My wife is catching a plane just a minute to go drive Andrew back from California. And Bible college, they always have preaching contest. And I don't know where Andrew got it, but he preached too long and they disqualified him. It's not genetic. There's 170 preachers preaching, and he made the top 20. But when the preaching of the top 20 took place, he got carried up, I guess, and forgot to look at his watch, and he went over and just disqualified him. And I said, well, son, you must have got that from your mama. So they'll be driving back. They'll leave Tuesday and drive back and get here sometime Wednesday night or Thursday. And then we'll pack, and Gene Jr. will be dedicating the $10 million building that he just built, his new church there, down the road from Dollywood. And he's having his dedication service, and he's asked me to come, and I'll be speaking to some of the crowd. And so be in prayer as they travel back across the country. Would you do that? I'd like for them to get back safe, and they'll be driving back this week. Well, I want to read you just 6 or 7 verses. The Bible says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 1, chapter 1, I'd like to talk to you today about this thought, if it would be all right, okay? Moms on a mission. Moms on a mission. I'd like to ask you today, and I know me speaking to some of the moms here today, it's kind of like preaching to the choir. Your kids are already gone. But you got grandkids probably. And if you don't, you're probably hoping you'll have some. And so what we miss with the kids, let's concentrate and try to do a better job on the grandkids. Would that be all right? I said, would that be all right? I think, honestly, that grandparents were put here for a reason. Not to babysit, although it works every once in a while. But grandparents have a tremendous opportunity to instill security and some type of hope in those grandkids. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Never forget my old godly Indian grandmother. I don't guess she ever cut her hair down almost to the floor. She went to heaven with the cleanest feet in the world. She was Free Will Baptist. Washed her feet every Sunday, whether they needed it or not. But she would sit in the evening time and read the old King James Bible to her grandson. And she passed that faith, that confidence, that love for the Bible, love for God, down to a grandchild. Every grandmother, grandfather are important today. Look in your Bible, if you would please. I read for you verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. First, in grandmother. Secondly, in mother. Now, in young Timothy. That's no accident, ladies and gentlemen. Timothy is not an act of the providence of God, but is the result of godly parenting and godly grandparenting to put him in the ministry of our Lord. Now notice over to chapter 3, if you would please. I read for you verse 14. Please now look at it if you would please. Verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. Timothy did not learn the scripture from the apostle Paul. He learned it from grandmother and mother. Amen. His Christian character was not developed in seminary on the backside of the Arabian desert. It was not developed by the hands of some preacher or apostle or some great orator. His character, his desire to love God, His knowledge of the scriptures was learnt at the feet of a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Amen. Can anybody say amen? Amen? Notice, look at next verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scripture, which was able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How many folk believe that? Amen. Because all scripture, the next verse, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You believe that? Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Profitable to your kids. Profitable to those little bitty kids running around the house that can barely talk, but they can sing, Jesus loves me. This I know. Any folk remember that? Amen. The old song we used to sing, the B-I-B-L-E. Oh, you say those are so childish. Oh, but they're so important in developing Christian character and Christian continuance in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. How's your kids know what's right if you don't tell them and give them a standard by which to go? How do your kids know what's right morally? Surely they're not learning it down at the schools. We have a new morality, which is nothing more than the old immorality. Everything's permissible because we no longer have a standard by which to go by, and that's the Word of God. Can you say amen? The reason kids down at the elementary school are doing things they ought not to do is because some moms at home is not doing what they ought to do. Don't blame the kids. The Bible goes on. It is profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. It's profitable for reproof. That's what's wrong. You read this very much and you'll find out what's wrong with you. You say, I don't like it. That's why I don't read it. But it'll tell you what's wrong. It'll first of all tell you what's right. Tell your kids what's right. It'll tell the kids what's wrong. Now notice, it's profitable for correction. That's how to fix it. And for instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. Can anybody say amen? Does any of you ever have to tell your kids, this is right, this is wrong, this is what you're going to get, and you better do it again, or I'm going to give it to you again? That's what the Bible's for. Why? That the man of God, next verse, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can anybody say amen? Without a doubt today, we owe much to godly mothers, do we not? I mean, let me tell you something. We owe much to godly mothers. They teach us a lot of things. Have you ever noticed that? They teach us. I know this is weird, but I taught my boys how to walk. Watch them. Every one of them walked just like me. None of them walks like their mother. Are you listening? I don't want anybody on television that has a loose wrist teaching my kids to have loose wrists. Mamas teach us. Mamas teach us how to talk. Mamas teach us how to eat, do they not? It was my mom that told me where the fork goes. It was my mama to tell me, keep your elbows off the table. It was my mama who told me, you don't blow your nose on your napkin at the table. If anybody's looking. It was my mama who taught me manners. It was my mama who taught me to open the door for the ladies. It was my mama who taught me how to be a gentleman. It was my mama who taught me how to be respectful. It was my mama who taught me all of those. It wasn't my daddy. He was too busy making a living. My mama was at the house teaching us how to tie our shoes, how to behave. Mamas teach us a lot of things about mamas. Teach us all about religion. You better pray that that comes out of that carpet. Have you ever heard that? Mamas teach us a lot of things. My mama has taught me a lot of things. My mama had taught me all about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you have a wreck. Have you ever heard that? Jean, make sure your socks don't have a hole in them. You may have an accident. Mamas are strange creatures. Mama teaches a lot about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Where did you learn that? You didn't learn that in elementary school. You learned that at the feet of the wisest person God ever put in your life. Mothers teach us much about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Who cares? Right now, you eat the vegetables. Mamas teach us much that we overlook. Mothers teach us about time travel. You don't straighten up, I'll knock you into next week. Is there anybody here? Thank God for mamas. I wouldn't know what in the world's going on if it wasn't for mamas. Mothers teach us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Really? That would be tough to do. Only mothers could do that. Eat your dinner with your mouth closed. You learn a lot from mothers. You sure do. She teaches us about contortionists. Would you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? That would be a trick. Anybody here? Thank God for mothers, right? I just thought that was awful good. My mama taught me about perseverance. She did. Did yours teach you anything about perseverance? You're going to sit there till you eat every piece of that broccoli. Dear God, let's just stay here the rest of the life then. She taught me much about genetics. You act just like your father. Is that right? Mama teaches a lot of things. She teaches kids about the weather. Your room looks like a tornado just came through here. Kids, is that about right? Moms teach us deep things like the cycle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Thank God for mamas. Amen. We overlook a lot of those things. But godly mothers, listen to me, godly mothers always has godly priorities. Amen. Lois and Eunice had godly priorities for young Timothy. They had a goal for what young Timothy was to become. Young Timothy was not an accident. Young Timothy was just not another act of providence. Young Timothy is where he was and was used by God under the direction of the great Apostle Paul, not because of his learning at the theological seminary of the day, but he learned it at the feet and watching godly examples of a godly mother and a godly grandmother. I believe that with all my heart. And priorities were passed down. Godly priorities are not an accident. They are passed down. And I'd like to talk to you for a little while this morning about godly priorities. I was reading just yesterday, great men, great women, great leaders, great assets to society are not an accident. For instance, Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Great men have been influenced. I don't know if you realize this. Men have authority. In the Bible, God talks about the authority of men. Men are more boisterous. Men are stronger. I do believe there is a difference in man and woman. There's just a difference. Now, I didn't notice it until I was about 13. But man, did God open my eyes at about the age of 13. They didn't stink anymore. Now they are fragrance in the air. Have you noticed, Jay, that there's a difference in a man and a woman? Would you tell CNN, BULL, and all them other stations there is a difference between a man and a woman? And women have children, and the husband has the labor pains. Wrong. I am sorry. But somebody's not being taught from the Bible that there's a difference. And that kids needs mamas. And that kids needs daddies. That's how God planned it. And that's the plan that works. I don't care what party is in the White House. We need both parties down at your house. Amen. I bet you thought I read that somewhere. That's original. Write it down. George Washington said, listen to this, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I learned at my mother's feet." Will that work? Andrew Jackson said there never was a woman like her. She was the most gentle as a dove, brave as a lioness, the memory of my mother, and her teachings were, after all, the only capital I had to start life with, and on that capital I have made my way. Mothers, how important you are. Booker T. Washington said, in all my efforts to learn and to read, my mother shared fully my ambition and sympathized with me and added and aided me in every way she could. If I'd done anything worth attention and feel sure that I inherited the disposition from my mother. I don't know if you know it or not, but mothers has influence. Daddy has authority, but mothers have influence. And what we are today probably is a direct result of the influence of our mother. I believe with all of my heart, if I could give you three things today as a mother. Now, I know some of us too old to be a father and a mother. But some of you young ladies, let me help you a little bit. Let me give you three priorities of godly motherhood in the Bible that'll work every time. The first priority, I think, that every mother ought to have, when that little baby comes home from the hospital, I think the first thing that baby ought to hear is Scripture. Amen. Whether it's sung, whether it's quoted, whether it's on the radio, whatever it is, I believe the first priority ought to be Scripture. Amen. Remember when you walked in homes and the Ten Commandments was on the wall? I think we put them up there so we'd know how to break them. Remember when they had the Ten Commandments on the wall? Remember when you walked in the house, had Scripture on the wall? You remember whenever the songs were about Jesus, the songs was out the Bible? B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Yes, sir. I'm marching in God's arm. Remember those songs? Any of you folks remember those songs? I think the first priority for every mother ought to be Scripture. Notice verse 15, if you would please. Look in the Bible. The Bible says in verse number 15, here it is, and that from a child, is that what it said? That from a child, if you ask some of the kids in our pre-K, if you ask some of the kids in our kindergarten, if you ask some of the kids in our 3-year-old kindergarten, they will be able to quote for you Scripture and sing songs that they learned in their class down at the schoolhouse. Now, I'm afraid they're not doing that at North Joshua. I'm afraid they're not getting that, but the Bible says Timothy had learnt and had heard and had witnessed the Scriptures from what? A child. Tradition says at the age of 5, a Jewish child began to be taught the traditions of the father, the Scriptures, and so forth and so on. And at just a young age, that happened. These Jewish kids were taught the Scriptures, and the Scriptures taught them what they needed to know. Jewish boys began their formal instruction at the age of 5. Now, let me give you two things I'd like to encourage every mama to do if you want your kids to grow up like God would have them. Here they are. Two of them. Listen. Write them down. You don't do anything else. Write this down. If you have kids and you're a mother, let me give you some good, godly, biblical advice. You say, well, you're not a mother. No, but I had one. And I know a lot. Number one. Here it is. You want to raise good kids. Number one, bring your kids to church and to Sunday school. Don't run them in. Don't drive them in. Don't bus them in. Don't drop them off. Bring your kids to church. Every time the doors open, you bring your kids to church. That's number one. That's number one. You need to bring your kids to church. Could anybody say amen to that? Bring your kids to church. Don't ever let it come up. Are we going to church? Just what time are we going to get ready? That's number one. I mean, folk agree that would help in teaching your kids the Scripture, right? We begin in the nursery department and we go into the toddler departments and you go into those departments and we teach them the Word of God. Number two, here's the next thing. Here's the next thing. Now, this is a kicker, okay? After you've been to church on Sunday, practice what you learned all week long in front of your kids. Would that help? Would that help? I said, would that help? Number one, some of you folk looking around like I don't mean this. Look up here. I am the total attraction right now. Listen, take your kids to church. Anybody here? Well, preacher, you're just my preacher. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, I've had six. You are looking at experience in the flesh. Six. All of them were brats. All of them were born sinners. Ever stinking one of them was liars. They were selfish. They didn't care one thing about me and mama. All they wanted is their daddy chains and a bottle stuck in their mouth. And they didn't care what time of day it was. I want it now. And I'm still saying, I have experience. If you want your kids to stay out of jail and out of drugs and out of the game, and evidently, you mamas won't teach them how to dress. I will teach them how to do that. And I'll embarrass them in church when they don't dress right. Like I'm going to embarrass some of you women who forgot how to dress in church. You say, this is Sunday. I'm well aware of that. I'm sorry. I can't teach them if I don't have some help at the house. Hello? I said, hello, you ought to teach your kids that they have Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, not beach-going attire. Amen. Listen, women, do you know how to spell D-R-E-S-S? That's one of them things that ain't got no legs to it. That you still have to walk like a lady instead of like a plowboy. This is going over kind of like a concrete cloud, ain't it? Teach them. Teach them. Start young teaching them the scriptures and teaching them how they should act and what they should do. Teach them, the Bible says, to teach them as they go to on their way. Teach them by the way. Teach them when they lay down. Teach them when they get up. Teach them when you're talking to them. Teach them when you're riding with them. Teach them when you're playing with them. Teach them when you're working with them. Just teach them and start young. And teach them the scriptures. John 3:5 and verse 39, search the scriptures. Matthew 22, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Acts 18, Apollos, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Where in the world is eloquence and gentleman and gentleness and ladylike? Where'd all that go in America? I'm afraid now to open a door for a woman and call her ma'am, afraid she'll cuss me out because I'm calling her old. Those are words of respect. Those are deeds of respect. Those are what we were taught as a child to do, to honor your femininity and honor you as God's lady. And now I get cussed out if I even say, ma'am, would you like to come in first? You know where we lost all that? At the house. You ladies moved out of the house and went to work. Don't you dare say amen to that. I'll do it. Amen, preacher. Don't have time to teach the girls how to stand. Because Proverbs tell you what happens when you stand like that. But you'd have to read Proverbs to read that. And Proverbs would tell the moms to tell the girls to control their eyes. Because some psychologists come up with this thing called body language. Yeah. Isn't it strange that Solomon knew about it 3,000 years ago? Is anybody here? You say, well, I don't know why my kids are acting like that. Go look in a mirror. And you'll find out why your kids are acting like that. Well, I don't understand why my kids don't come to church now that they're old. Well, how did mom and daddy do when they were young? Amen. Teach them. Are you listening to me? Teach them the scriptures. Look at what it says in verse 13 or verse 15. Able to make thee wise. Amen. Did you get that? Look at verse number. The holy scriptures which are able to make thee what? Do you know, I've got to close. Yes, I do, just a minute. Do you know why the book of Proverbs is written? Could I please tell you why the Proverbs is written? Solomon did not write all the Proverbs. But his men and his staff gathered all the Proverbs from the ancient sayings of the nation of Israel. And they were compiled in a book called the Book of Proverbs. And these Proverbs were taught to the future political leaders of the day. The young men and the young women that was going to be in leadership in the nation of Israel was taught the Book of Proverbs so that they may be wise, know how to handle fools, know how to do what's right, know how to handle money, know how to recognize a fool and an evil person, know how to stay away from the evil woman. Yeah. Notice it never says, you women, I'm going to tell you how to stay away from the evil men, because they were training men to be future political leaders in the nation of Israel. And these Proverbs were put together to train, to lead, to guide, to educate, to inform the young men how to act and how to what kind of manner of life they were to live so that they could be God-honoring politicians. Don't you think maybe Washington needs a good dose of the Proverbs? Don't you think maybe the Democrats and Republicans and the ridiculous needs a good dose of the Proverbs? Well, how come some of you moms think that they need it, but you don't? I just believe with all of my heart that we need young kids that are wise to the morals of the day. Somebody that can say, I don't care what the school says. I don't care what the principal says. I know what the book says. Amen. Somebody that'll make me wise to morals and immorality and show me the dangers of what I am doing and what most folks are pursuing. And you say, preacher, won't you preach to mom and daddy? Too late. You're already big enough to read it yourself. Able to make thee what? Somebody tell me. Now, we've got several school teachers and principals in our church today. How much time have you spent this year in your curriculum teaching the kids the fallacies and dangers of premarital sex? How much time have you been afforded to teach young ladies how to act as a young lady and young men how to be respectful and God-honoring as young men? None. They won't allow you to do that. Question, moms, if the public school is not allowed to do it, who's going to do it? And you wonder why we had such a rampant, ridiculous presidential election. And you wonder why in the world we're in a mess that we are today. We wonder why in the world no longer is politics running Washington, but the financial institutions of the country is now running Washington, because for the last four or five administrations, they've moved every financial guru who is a fraudulent, no good deadbeat from Wall Street to Washington, and now they're running the show, and we're not saying a thing about it. Amen, Reverend. God bless you. Where's all that learned? Well, let me give you this and I'll go on. Number one, teach them young. Is that all right? Blake, start singing songs about Jesus, that boy. I've gone down the highway for the last 19 years. And all that Andrew has ever listened to is godly music. He learned to sing parts. He's learned more about Jesus in the front seat of my truck, listening to CDs that is the right kind of music, than any other place in the world. Sing the right kind of songs to your kids. Live the right kind of life around your kids. Start real young. Start real young. My son David, he ain't here, I don't think, today. He didn't learn much. But he's just a little bitty kid at Greenbrier Elementary up in Fort Worth where I used to pastor. I think he's probably in the second, third grade. He came home one evening and we was eating dinner. And he told us the dirtiest, filthiest joke I've heard in my life. And he just cracked up. Well, needless to say, nobody else was laughing at the table. David kindly come to the conclusion, I guess that was a no-no. I said, son, where did you hear such filth? He said, one of my friends in my class told me today. And we all laughed. And I thought, since we all laughed, it was probably funny. And I thought, maybe you'd like to hear it, Dad. But he said, I guess I was wrong. Where did he learn that? Young. I was walking down the back of our church in Fort Worth. This has been 35 years ago. And 7 and 8 year old kids in the alley having sex behind our church. Where did they learn that? Kids are too young to learn at that age. Let's just turn them loose in front of an immoral television and let Minnie Mouse run around with no clothes on. And then we'll graduate them and we'll educate them and graduate them into Hannah Montana. And then wonder why in the world our kids want to dress like little streetwalkers and our boys wearing pants so big a tribe of Indians can tribe in the seat of the britches, and we don't know why is our kid so rebellious, because you're so stinking neglectful, that's why. That's right, you can act like you can say amen, you can clap your hand, you need to stand up and say glory if you want to. But we better start teaching our kids priorities. Mom, number one, not the soap operas, not the dope operas. Too long, you've been looking for the guiding light one day at a time, and on your way down to Flamingo Road, you all ended up in General Hospital. And some of our girls looking at me right now said, that old man fell out of a tree. No, your teacher's granddaddy fell out of a tree. I was created by the hand of Almighty God. And God created me with a purpose and not with a tail. Hello. Teach them young. Teach them now. Teach them young. Teach them now. Someone said, God doesn't give babies to most women over 50 years old because they would lose them and never know where they lost them. They would set them down and say, did I lose something? Teach them. Priority number one, Scripture. You think that would be all right? Priority number two, the Savior. Able to make thee wise by faith unto salvation in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Tell them. Hey, look. You know what they're doing down at the school? They're telling your kids that Jesus Christ was not God. They'll tell your kids he was a pretty good guy probably. They'll tell your kids that he was a tremendous influence in the world. They will tell your kids he died as a martyr and not a savior. Who's going to teach your kids who Jesus really is? See, I got news for you. Long before there was an Adam, and long before there was a creation, and far beyond the rivers becoming water, and far beyond any light or darkness, far beyond all of that, Jesus Christ was God, He is God, and He ever will be God Almighty. All you'll ever see of God, you'll see Him in the person of Jesus Christ. We need to teach our kids that Jesus Christ was not another man like Joseph Smith. And He is not another slim Buddha. He is God in the flesh. The only God and the only God and will always be God. Tell your kids who Christ is. And start young. Start young and do it now. Teach them who He is. Bless your heart. I believe with all my heart you need to teach them who Jesus is. I believe Jesus can heal folk today. I don't believe in healers. I believe in the great healing of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus can heal any family who has problems emotionally, domestically. I believe He can heal anybody from any disease. I prayed for my mom. I prayed, dear God, just raise her up and heal her. And if not, give the family grace to act like we ought to act whenever things is going all right. Is that all right? I just believe God can heal anybody. But we need to tell Him who He is. Tell your kids who Jesus is. Tell Him He's more than just a fella riding a barred mule into Jerusalem. He's God. All that was prophesied. It's happening just like He said it would. He's going into Jerusalem. Why is He going into Jerusalem? Tell Him not only who He is, tell Him what He did. He's not a martyr. He's the Savior. He's not going to stay dead. Proved to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. Tell them that Easter is more than bunny rabbits. Amen. Laying little colored eggs. And some of them plastic. That is a miracle. Full of candy. That's another miracle. But that's about the conception most of our kids have of Jesus Christ. Just a beggar riding into town on a donkey to get on a cross, to die as a good man, to be buried in the tomb so that we can come to church twice a year on Christmas and on Easter and celebrate rabbits laying plastic eggs. Now, whose fault? Whose fault? Whose fault is that? It's not mine. Priorities is what it is. Amen. Priorities is what it is. Listen, teach them who He is. Teach them what He did. Teach them what He wants. God is not willing that one of these should perish. Amen. No matter what sin they might fall into. No matter what trick the devil may play on them. No, don't matter what the flesh allures them into. Listen. God loves this crowd, and God loves that crowd. We need a godly mother with the priorities to tell our kids that Jesus is not a good man. He's the God-man. He's the expression of deity. All the fullness of heaven dwells in Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of narrow. Truth always is. And what He did, He died that they might be saved. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's going to have to die for your sin. And your kids, they need to know that if they're a sinner, somebody's going to have to pay for their sin. They can either do it themselves or they can do it vicariously in the person of Jesus Christ by faith and accept His death and they can have life everlasting. Teach them that. Teach them. Dear God, don't tell them that they are a result of evolution If evolution is real, some of you folk got a raw deal. Because I have seen, in some cases, the original looking a lot better. Somebody missed the pattern on some of us. Amen. Don't even allow that thought. Don't even allow that thought to permeate the tender hearts of your kids. Evolution is the biggest farce that you'll ever see. It is absolutely beyond my intelligence how that anything so intricate as this body could evolve. And I'd like to know, when did the evolving process stop? Surely we ought to get better. Why did it stop now? And where's those folks that ain't here yet? Oh, they're still tadpoles. Teach your kids who Christ is. Teach them what He did. Teach them what He wants. He wants all to come for repentance. Teach them that God really loves them. Because some kids don't know that. Could I have an amen? Amen. I just think that was pretty good. Well, I got to close. I'm done. A mom with a mission. Eunice had a goal. Number one, she used the scriptures to reveal the Savior. And used the scripture and the Savior to prepare him for service. What do you want for your child? As a preacher, I'm done, but as a preacher, my ultimate goal for all six of my kids, but they'd serve God. They don't have to be preachers. Don't have to be preachers' wives. Don't have to be anointed with a cloth of deity. I just want them to grow up and serve the Lord in His local church. That's all I ever want my kids. Had a goal when they were born. That's what I want for them. That was a goal. We began real early with the scriptures, revealing the Savior and exemplifying service. Amen. And anybody say amen? Amen? Well, I want my kid to be a doctor. We need good Christian doctors. Amen. Well, I want my kid to be a nurse. We need good Christian nurses. Well, I want my kid to be a lawyer. Boy, do we need Christian lawyers. I want my kid to be a preacher. Well, pray that he'll be an honest preacher with integrity and live like he ought to live and not use his cloak for an excuse to be fraudulent in his lifestyle, in his money, and in his message. Teach them. Mom, I just asking you, what have you done to get your kid ready to serve the Lord? G. Campbell Morgan, great preacher of the past, had four preacher sons. One day at a family reunion, a friend was asking one of the sons, said, "Son, which is the greatest preacher in the Morgan family?" He looked at his daddy with a smile and said, "My mom, of course." He wasn't kidding. "My mom, of course." Mom, set some goals for your kids. Amen. Grandmoms, pray that your daughter would accomplish the godly goals for your grandkids. Our jails are full of teenagers today who somebody missed along the way. The highest suicide rate in America is among teenagers. The highest social disease is among teenagers. They're searching. They're looking. They're questioning. Their mature body is yelling at an immature mind. And they're yelling at the wrong things. That's why God gave us parents to direct. You say, preacher, it's not a very good sermon. I know that. But I just think it'll work, don't you? Amen. Let me give you two reactions when a mama first sees her baby. The first reaction is joy. That child is mine. The next reaction is, oh my, what will I do now? Don't tell me you didn't have those. Yeah, you had that. And as wonderful as a motherhood is, and all advice you mother's been getting from mama, all the way down to Dr. Spock, from Oprah and Sally, Jesse Raphael, what are mothers to do? Number one, dump the trends of the day. Be a godly mother and set godly priorities. It'll work every time. Every time. An old Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of a preacher. You agree? So mama, teach them. Reach them. And train them to serve our wonderful Lord. And all of God's people said, everybody didn't. Some of you did. I'm done. A little girl called a friend and said, I just wanted to call you. My mom's in the hospital. And all that is here with me is the twins and Roxy and Billy and Sally and the dog and my dad. And we're at home alone. Get that? When mom ain't there, everybody's alone.